We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, Chicago? This is the CHGO podcast presented by PointsBet. Use promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. I am Kevin Kaduk, head of content here at CHGO. Today, I am joined by Sean, the Phenom Anderson.
Oh, thanks. Not a lot of people use the nickname. The Phenom. So thanks.
Casey, the Youngstown State Penguin, Standahar, our director of social. And Cody, I don't know if you have a nickname.
Well, there's, you know, maybe we can let the comments decide, or, you know, maybe you'll come up with one by the end of the show.
I will come up with one. Cody Del Mundo, welcome to the show. Look, we always get together a cross-section of people here at CHGO, and the first couple of weeks it's been Luke and Herb and Adam. I have to look younger, so this is the wave here. I think we all watch Bill Simmons at The Ringer, and I think it's always apparent that he brings in people to make himself look younger, so I'm doing that. Hopefully I will succeed in that.
Well, yeah, it seems very much like Bill Simmons when he like brings on his kid to talk about WWE. Like, I mean, you want to talk about baseball with some young kids, something you could relate to, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you're bringing up old teams that, you know, like 1998 Cubs. Like, I wasn't alive, Kevin. I can't talk about the 98 Cubs with you.
This is very crazy.
Oh, wow, I'm older than
I was, but you know.
I was also alive.
You existed.
Do you have any other nicknames besides Rockabilly Youth Pastor?
I don't.
That was the only
Duck,
one that...
Yeah. Duck is one.
Duck. Yeah, that's a good one. So.
Casey, welcome to CHGO. You started about a week and a half ago.
Yes,
Director
you.
Of Social. You're teaching us the ways of TikTok.
Yes, we're going to do the ticks and the talks. I know Matt Peck is a little hesitant, but my goal in this job is to get him to do a TikTok soon.
I really hope so, because I think TikTok was made for Matt Peck. But how's your experience been here so far?
Great. It's been awesome. Everyone's been so welcoming and honest and wonderful, and this space is amazing. I knew when I came here that it would be not only a challenge that I was looking forward to, but also a lot of fun. So I've been having a blast so far.
Well, it's awesome to have you. It was kind of fun when we were recruiting and talking about, hey, who should we be talking to around town? A name that kept on coming up was Casey Standahar, and we are really happy to have you here. You know a lot of people, and you know a lot of about a lot of sports here in town. So let's go on with the show. Today we're going to be talking on about the perfect Chicago baseball day. It is the last day of March, and it has been awful this week. My kids are on spring break. They have not been able to do anything.
That's so sad.
I shot the preview for this. You can't even see, like, past floor 30 of the Sears Tower. It's just awful. But I thought, hey, look, opening day is a week away for the Cubs, 8 days away for the White Sox. Let's think of better days ahead. Let's think of spring. Let's think of sunshine and perfect days at Wrigley Field or Sox Park. We're going to be talking about that, favorite drinks, favorite food. We're also going to be talking about April Fool's Day pranks and some of the favorite ones we've pulled off. I have a great one involving Jay Cutler. But first, we're going to get into a little bit more baseball talk.
Matt also has a nickname for him.
What does he have?
Ruins the Bulls with his bets, Del Mendo.
Okay. See, I can't even read that, so I'm already benefiting from having younger people with better eyes.
I got you, Kevin.
I do have to have loose readers. Yeah.
It's funny, though. I mean, it's a perfect topic that you brought up about having the perfect baseball day, because opening day was supposed to be today,
I know.
And then they canceled it, you know, because baseball's the best.
I'm glad that maybe we're moving into a better weather window, although the Cubs, I don't think, would have opened at home, right?
I
don't remember off the top of my head.
I can't remember. Everything is switched. Everything, you know, whatever. They're back to 162-game schedule. First, we're going to talk about Major League Baseball's latest ploy to get more eyeballs and grow the game, as it were. They announced yesterday that they are going to be starting Home Run Derby X. And you know it's hard because they involved the X there. It is going to be a global tour featuring four teams, the Cubs, Red Sox, Yankees, and Dodgers, represented by four people. And it's, I don't know the entire particulars of this, but the Cubs are represented by Giovanni Soto. The other legends involved are Adrian Gonzalez, Johnny Gomes, and Nick Swisher. So not exactly the biggest names or even like really all people that you'd be excited to see, I guess.
I can't wait for Johnny Gomes induction day. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. That screams legend to me. Put Johnny Gomes into Canton, right? We're putting him into Canton. Let's put him into Canton. No one gets, all right.
Yeah, I don't get that.
It's over my head.
Because, like, Canton's the football one.
Oh, okay.
So, like, you know, not Cooperstown because, like, he's not even a baseball legend. So why would you put him in any Hall of Fame?
That took me
I
don't know.
It's okay, I got
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I'm sorry,
I'm
guys.
Following
I'm,
my there. Bad. I'm following my you bad. There. Casey, what was your reaction when you heard, when you read this introduction?
I'll be honest. The launch on Twitter for me was kind of a swing and a miss just because I think, like, people were complaining that the link was broken. And for me, as a social manager, I took that personally. You know,
Jordan meme. Here we go. She took it personally.
Yeah, I did. And I felt bad for them. So I do think the launch video was very targeted at Gen Z. And while I do think it could be a really cool idea, and I understand they're trying to grow the game with the game in London and kind of making baseball more internationally accepted.
They're going to be in London, Seoul, and Mexico City, right, at least.
And while I do love that, I worry a little bit that it's one of those fads that's not going to stick. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, I'll eat my words. You guys can play back this video where it's a huge hit.
Yeah.
But I see the appeal. It's just, for me, there are other issues that Major League Baseball could have been addressing that they aren't still, like getting rid of, you know, antiquated mechanisms like arbitration and service time. I mean, honestly, if you don't listen to your fan base, how are you going to grow your fan base? Yeah. People are worried about blacked out games, and access to the game has been a huge issue. So
you're saying this is something that's kind of nice, but they didn't really need.
Right. I mean, there's other small fixes we could have made first to please the fans and grow the game.
Yeah. Cody, what'd you think?
I mean, I guess I wasn't as negative as I feel like most people on social media or even Casey. I just think that if they used better people,
Casey, the dark cloud over here.
like, for instance, like the Cubs guy, like the legend is Giovanni Soto, and it's like, yeah, he was cool for 1 year. Thank you, Lawrence. But I feel like people would have been more excited if the legends that they chose for the four teams were more attractive, I guess.
Legendary. Right.
Yeah, actually more legendary, or at least were actually played for those teams for a significant amount of time.
I didn't know which one Adrian Gonzalez was representing. He played for both the Red Sox and Dodgers, was good on both of them.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I had no idea.
At least Adrian Gonzalez was good. I mean, Giovanni Soto was good his rookie year, and that's honestly it. Like,
I always hated the Red Sox for getting out of that that contract very easily. They should have had to pay a little bit more than, you remember,
it was Carl Crawford, right?
And Carl Crawford, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think they were both in that trade. Yeah, I mean, Gonzalez was like, it made sense for him to sign in Boston. Like, you know, they can move Poppy to DH, and with that left field, it would make sense. And I just always will think of, you know, him, especially connected to Chicago, just because, like, that was who Anthony Rizzo replaced
right
in San Diego. So, like, Adrian Gonzalez does have a weird connection with the Cubs, too.
Is Adrian Gonzalez someone you would tune in to watch hit homers in his advanced age?
Probably more than Johnny Gomes, but, like, this is no better than the celebrity softball game that they put on at the All-Star game every year. Like, they're moving in the fences, so, like, what, I want to see Adrian Gonzalez slap a 200-foot home run? Not really. Like, it doesn't feel like it's a fully fleshed-out idea, and that's what Herb and I talked about on the CHGO White Sox podcast, was, like, it's a fine idea, and it's fine to grow the game internationally.
So here's what I like about this. There is a spot for the superstar that is reserved for a women's player. And the woman who is going to be participating for the Cubs is named Alex Hugo. She plays for Team USA. I'm not sure if she has any ties to Chicago. She appears to be from Georgia, But I think it's kind of cool. And this is why. I think the home run is still a pretty cool feat. It's been lessened somewhat in the steroid era. After the steroid era, the cachet that it kind of carried has been taken away somewhat. But it's still pretty cool to put a baseball over a wall. And that really is kind of at the heart of a game.
Right.
When you sit down in a seat, that's what you want to see. Now, I also want to see doubles and triples. Those are going away. I wish that maybe baseball would put more attention to growing those. But I think when you're actually kind of like reframing this and putting different people in who were not necessarily used to seeing hitting home runs, I think that that's kind of a cool thing. They're going to have content creators. Now, I guess the Cubs content creator is some soccer dude who has 2 million followers on YouTube, which that's a great audience to reach, I guess. But I'd probably rather see, like, you know, Joe from Obvious Shirts or, you know, maybe Kaplan.
Yeah, yesterday, like, yeah. When we had David Kaplan on the Cubs show, we joked about why he wasn't the guy.
Right.
Huge content creator.
I mean, I guess, too, like, if it is an international-based event, like, it does make sense to have at least
sure.
the point that you're making, like, trying to sell people on, like, hey, this is something that I can do. That's always what attracted, I think, me to baseball was, like, hey, I've always enjoyed playing baseball. This is something that I can do. Like, hitting a home run would be a dream. So being able to see, like, your favorite soccer, I guess he's, like, a gaming, like, it's a gaming channel or whatever.
2 million followers, man.
Yeah.
We'll get there one day.
Yeah. Get there one day, and we'll be blasting home runs across the world, apparently.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does feel like more of a grab to reach out to that international audience.
Yeah, I think it's I think baseball is always at war with itself. How do you serve the people who are your core audience? You know, or maybe they're not even at war anymore because they are doing such radical different things to kind of change things. But it's like, okay, why are you trying to cater to fans in London and you're not necessarily catering to fans here?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, kind of like, I will agree with Casey about a lot of the things that she said about like fixing the problems that they already have. One of those big problems though is, you know, just branching out to different audiences. The NBA is global. Mm-hmm. Even the NFL has become more global too. So in a way, like MLB is at least trying. I felt like for years the MLB wasn't even trying to do anything. So,
right.
Again, it's one of those like at least you tried type thing, like the Bart Simpson throwing the cake in the trash.
It might be great, you guys. I don't know. I'm trying to be optimistic, but there are other issues.
I don't think it will be great. I don't think it will be bad. I think it will just be forgettable. I think like they are. pushing this towards like a younger generation,
right.
But even then, I don't think any of the younger generation is calling this. And also, like, yes, baseball needs to be doing more, which is surprising because like they are a billion-dollar corporation. So it's like it's pretty tough that they couldn't think of like home run derby X, and then also figure out like arbitration. Like, is this what took 43 days for the MLB front office to respond in labor negotiations? Like, is that
yes,
what they were
that's
doing?
Exactly why.
Like putting together that clip of of the home run derby X trailer and having Jason Hayward being like the first player you see hit a home run. Like that's what I think of MLB home runs. I think of Jason Hayward blasting off in Wrigley Field. I guess it makes sense because of, you know, the players that they traded away in 2021. Like that's now who is representing your Cubs, you know, this year. But, you know, it did feel a little weak when you first saw the big buildup trailer. Like it
was just fire.
Fell
and
flat.
Giovanni players. Soto.
Like,
yeah, they didn't put the players in the legends. Like, you're giving them the term legends, and yet you're not even putting them in the trailer. Like, why didn't you have a Giovanni Soto home run? Why didn't you have an Adrian Gonzalez home run? He used to be the face of your video game back in 2011. Like, it just, the whole thing fell flat, I feel.
So, how old were you in 2011?
I graduated eighth grade. So I was 12, 11, 13, something like that.
Brandon says, I vote Matt Peck as our home run celebrity. That'd be fun. I actually think he'd probably put a couple of baseballs over the wall.
Especially if the Bulls lose, he'd be very
angry. Yeah, so we actually made a big announcement on Monday. We are actually joining the Cup League, which is the Chicago Media Softball League. And I actually hope to get Matt out there because I feel he's going to swing a big stick. I think he could be an MVP if we're going to make a run at that trophy. So Hey, this week we saw 75-year-old Bill the Spaceman Lee strike out someone at a Savannah Bananas game. That was a clip that went viral. I think we've all seen 75-year-old Luke Appling hitting a dong off of Warren Spahn in like the 1980 old-timers game. So I think looking at this home run derby, it's like, okay, who would you still want to see? One, who would you still want to see hit a home run from the Cubs or Sox? And who do you think still could?
Adam Dunn easily comes to mind, not only because I think he fits the mold
he's
of...
He's
not that old, just like Johnny Gomes and Adrian Gonzalez and Giovanni Soto. Like, he's still in that era, but he's also kind of fits the same thing. Like, Giovanni Soto was good for a year. Adrian Gonzalez was on the Dodgers for a little bit. Okay. I think that he fits kind of that good home run hitter, but also kind of not an actual legend of the team.
All right, so I'll just throw out some guys, and you guys can respond if you think that they could put one over the wall. Frank Thomas.
Yeah, yes. That Nugenix is going to help him.
Yeah.
I mean, especially, like, I don't know what the fences are going to be. Like, it's not going to be 330. Like, can Frank Thomas hit a fly ball 200 feet still? Absolutely.
It's only 200 feet.
I think so. I don't know what the
I think he can still pull. I think it's still pull one out of park. I mean, I think that's the sort of thing you don't forget.
He looks. Yeah. I mean, he still looks like he did. Like,
he doesn't let himself go.
Yeah,
he's a big guy. He could do it.
Sammy Sosa.
Oh hell yeah!
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't seen Sammy's actual like physique as of late. I think Sammy might be a little bit like, has Sammy been working out?
You only see mugshots of Sammy these, not mugshots, but mugshots. You know?
Like,
you only
like you only, yeah. Red carpet, you know.
I just love the Sammy dabbing.
That came out wrong. Ryan Sandberg. Ryan's a little more up there.
The CBD has loosened up those joints. He can knock one out. He was able to hit one out in the 90 World's home run derby. So, you know, with that wind, I think he could definitely knock one out.
Yeah,
I think
it's that
200
wind,
feet.
The Wrigley wind help.
Derek Lee would be fun to watch.
He's still fairly young, too.
He is. What about Bill Melton? Bill Melton might fall. I don't think he's quite 75 yet, but he might fall into that Luke Appling range. He might surprise you.
Yeah, he would. I mean, he's definitely the same age or around the same age as Appling was when he hit that home run. I mean, that Appling home run was also, I mean, they had the fences moved in. It was a pop fly. Looked like, you know, if there was a left fielder or a shortstop, like they could have gone out and fielded it.
Actually, Melton Bill is actually 76. He looks great for 76. So I'm saying he could.
Well, that's the whole, like, Tom Brady, was it Ken Stabler thing? Who's, like, the guy who's, like, you know, when they're like, oh, this was the oldest guy who played at 45 years old back in the 70s, and here's Tom Brady and what he looks like. I think it's just, you know, old people looked way older back in the 70s and 80s. Like, Bill Melton looks great for 76, but also Luke Appling looked like 90 when he was 76.
All right, well, maybe one day we will see those things. Up next is our picks for the perfect baseball day. We're trying to bring some sunshine on this lousy March day, the last March day of the year. But first, the best way to support CHGO is to download the PointsBet app and use code CHGO when you sign up. If you do that right now, you will get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. But that is not it. If you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you will receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our great web content, including all of the great baseball reporting from Vinny Duber and Ryan Herrera this season. You will even get a free shirt of your choice, Cubs, Sox, CHGO, anything you want. You'll get that from the CHGO locker. So that's $2,000 in free bets, a free CHGO membership, and a free T-shirt from the CHGO locker, all for making more than a $50 first-time deposit at PointsBet. If you have any questions, you can email pointsbet at allchgo.com, and we will help you out. PointsBet is your home for live in-play betting, and it just got even better. It's introducing PointsBet's new feature, live college basketball same-game parlay. That's going to come in handy for the Final Four this weekend. For the first time ever, you can build the perfect live same-game parlay only with PointsBet. You can combine your favorite bets anytime during the game. You want more? You can also boost that live same-game parlays. Watch live, parlay live, and boost live with PointsBet. And now online signup is available in Illinois. You can download the PointsBet app right now and register your account from start to finish, all from your phone. Plus, during PointsBet Match Madness, all users can earn up to $100 in free bets during each round. Just place a $50 pregame wager and get a free $20 live bet to be used for that round. So what are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. 4,700. All right, you guys enjoying the CHGO experience so far? We're almost into our first month.
Absolutely.
At the end of our first month,
I mean, this is my first full-time job, and it's been one hell of an experience so far. Yeah. I got no complaints.
Well, hopefully people are also enjoying it. As you guys know, we offer podcasts and live shows on every team every day. We also have the CHGO sports podcast, which we do usually Thursdays at 12:30. Might be delayed next week because of opening day. We will keep you posted. But we're also doing great post-game shows for the Hawks and Bulls. Soon we'll be introducing the Sox and Cubs, which is crazy. We have that premium written content for members at allchgo.com. Dope merch for all teams and a free shirt when you become a member. So we really want you to support CHGO and hit allchgo and join and become a member. And you also get access to the members-only Discord lounge. So you guys been in there?
Yes.
I have been in there. I have not been in there enough, though, I will admit. I need to get in there and, like, make friends with people.
Once the Cubs really get going on, I think that's going to be a cool place for Sox and Cubs fans to hang out and talk. Yeah. So, all right, let's get on to the perfect Chicago baseball day. I sent you guys the rundown of what we're really going to be talking about, the picks. Lawrence has put together some good graphics for our YouTube audience. If you're listening to this on a podcast, remember we have our live shows here on YouTube, so make sure you subscribe to that channel.
Were you thinking of the Lou Reed song when you asked this question? Were you thinking of Perfect Day?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I know that song.
I'm surprised
song.
He knows Lou Reed.
Oh, come on.
It's probably because it was that awesome PlayStation commercial.
Oh, no. Remember that? No, I don't remember that. I gotta look up Lou Reed PlayStation commercial.
Yeah, that's awesome. So.
No, I remember him because of Metallica, right? That's why everybody remembers him. Lou Reed and Metallica.
I remember him because of the Velvet Underground, Sean.
Oh, yeah, I heard about them. Are they famous?
Check them out.
Jonathan Richmond song about him once.
All right. How should we roll into this? The perfect Chicago baseball day. I think it should always start with a hot dog. The first thing I put up there was your favorite place to get a pregame hot dog. I think we all have meat eaters here. No vegans, right?
No.
Oh, yeah, I love meat.
I picked wisely.
I love meat.
Casey, where are you going for that pregame dog?
Definitely Murphy's Bleachers. It used to be walking distance from my old apartment. I love it there. It's crowded. It's dingy.
Yeah.
I don't care. It's great.
I like the thought process here because you didn't go straight for a hot dog stand, but they've got that window in there. And I think it's just as good as getting one in the game, and it's the wax paper.
And you run
that is a legendary spot.
Run into the game as it's starting or right before, and you're ready to go.
I like it. Cody?
Well, because she put Murphy's, I didn't want to put it as well. So, and, you know, pregame hot dog, the only, like, actual hot dog place that I've really go to on a consistent basis in Wrigley is Wrigleyville Dogs. It's right down Clark Street. I think right across the street from Trace, where I've had some nights there.
Right across from the metro, too.
Yeah, so...
convenient.
Yeah, it's a cool spot. You know, it's not... I wouldn't say it's the best spot in the neighborhood,
it's
but...
The type of hot dog stand where you can also get the pizza puff, which is key.
Yes, yes. So...
One of the greatest baseball mysteries in Chicago I actually have, though, is if you go to their Facebook page, they call themselves Wrigleyville Dogs. Almost... All other literature says Wrigleyville Dogs, but the sign, can we get the sign back up there, Lawrence? Sure. The sign says Wrigley'sville Dogs.
Does it really?
I had never noticed that before, to be honest with you.
That's part of the charm of that place. Like that, yeah. You walk into that place and it feels like it's like a Greek Euro shop, but it's not.
Yeah,
right. And I just remember that place because I've gone to two shows at the Metro and both times I forgot to eat. So then I ended up at Wrigleyville Dogs over there. So like that is a life-saving
probably
spot.
Like 75% of their business. People have forgot to eat before the,
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. So that's why it looks like a Euro place.
Another good Wrigleyville spot is Byron's.
Yes.
You guys, next time you go over there.
You guys got me beat with all these Wrigleyville spots. Like, yeah. I only know that one place because of concerts, not even the games.
Did you, as a Sox fan, you obviously lead our Sox podcast. Did you, you like start to smoke or at all or melt when you hit Clark Street?
No. I mean, it's, I used to be a Cubs fan. So, I mean, for the first 7 years of
what
my life.
What happened?
Sammy Sosa corked his bat and ruined my baseball life. So, it was, you know, my favorite color was blue.
I got over
He
that.
Wore the number 21. That was my favorite number. And he hit like 700,000 home runs. So like he was the coolest player on the planet. And then like I found out he was cheating. Like, come on. And that was after 2003. So it was a little bit of bandwagon on my end too. Like 2003 happened. They lost in the NLCS. 2004 was a disappointment. And Sammy Sosa's a cheater. That was enough for me to flip. So, I mean, okay. I don't hate Wrigleyville.
Okay. Where are you going for a good hot dog?
Lot B. It Sox Park. Okay. Very easy there. I don't do a lot of like pre-gaming or post-gaming, but if I do, I will go into Lot B. And my favorite part is you don't know who you'll run into. One time I was there, I ran into my dad. Didn't know he was going to be at the game. Did he tell you
he was going somewhere else? And you're like,
No, okay. I just didn't talk to him. And I ended up parking like on one row, and then two rows back was my dad. And I hear like, amazing. Hey, Sean. I'm like, oh, hey, what's up, dad? And then he ends up buying. I was there with my girlfriend and my cousin and his now fiance, and my dad then, you know, kept coming by our section every single time, because of course he was like in our section of seats too, like we didn't figure this out. And he bought like all of us our first game at a White Sox like ticket plaques, like we all got that, like even though, you know, been to plenty Sox games. So yeah, you never know who you're gonna run into.
So do you bring the dogs and make them yourself, or do you just go up and beg? Or
yeah, someone's nice enough. The okay. Sox fans are giving, especially. I mean, we are known for drinking. I think that the Sox fans have the highest beer tab on average in the MLB. So not only are they
survey drinking, related to that, like a year or two ago.
Yeah. So not only are they drinking in the games, but they are drinking before the games. So yeah, a lot of friendly people out.
I will say the tailgating experience at the Cell is. I mean, I know they do it in Milwaukee too, but like we need more of that around baseball, honestly.
Yeah, well, it's
and that's what, but that's what makes going to a White Sox game unique, right. In my eyes, you know,
for sure.
Right, like I love the part that I do love about Wrigley though is that it is one block. Like that is something that that was great about Old Comiskey, was like it's a classic jewel box stadium. So I kind of do miss that, but at least now with the new renovation, I do have a lot of annoyances with the park, but one of them is the great atmosphere of the parking lots to create.
Sure. Our buddy Clark says, you know you're at the correct hot dog place if their sign spells the business name wrong. They're making good dogs, not signs. That's true. My favorite place for a pregame dog is 35th Street Red Hots, which is just on the other side of the viaduct. They're from Comiskey on 35th Street. This is what a hot dog stand should look like. Just picnic tables. You just go in, there's a counter. You can get the double dog, which is just a genius thing if you're trying to save on the carbs. They just throw an extra wiener in there. You're not eating an extra bun, which I always appreciate. Look, Chicago has a lot of great Michelin-starred restaurants, a lot of great chefs. For my money, there is nothing better than unfolding one of those, you know, and they wrap it with the fries. Unfolding that on the hood of your car or the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
Cracking the couple of beers that you had in your trunk. And
you guys are making me hungry.
That's a perfect day. Hey, we'll pick some up. They're open up year round, not just for
The pork chop sandwich with the bone in.
No, that's a different place. I think that's on. Actual,
I think they just do dog. I think it's just dogs and fries. You don't have
a big
choice.
There's shrimp in there too, but I don't think they got a pork chop sandwich.
There was Maury O'Malley's down the road, and I think they're closing, unfortunately, or already have closed. That's a good hot dog stand.
I'm assuming we've all been to Gene and Jude's.
Yes. No, never been.
I feel like
35th Street is pretty kind of close. It's like a spiritual sister to Gene and Jude's.
Yeah, that place, first time I went to that place, I didn't want to leave. I wanted to, like, stay and get more.
Yeah, I'm a bad sell-sider. Don't know Gene and Jude's. Never been to Rico Benny's. So those are the two spots that I know I need to go to.
Yeah, that's on our list. We'll do some TikToks from there.
Yes, let's.
Favorite beer to drink during the game, brewery and brand/flavor. I don't know what you call it, but.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Casey? I'm going first. Sure. I'm going to go with Old Style.
Okay.
It just feels right, you know, when you're there.
It is a Wrigley staple type thing. Yeah.
I'm not an Old Style fan.
Why?
I have famously described Old Style as like a loaf of bread in a glass. That's what it tastes like to me. I'm sorry.
Well, it's like a wheaty, it's wheat.
I get it.
I will say, Casey, you don't give off the I drink Old Style at Wrigley vibe. Well, I will say that.
I'm going to continue to surprise you, Cody.
Keep it unpredictable. I
will say Cody's pick here for his beer, I did not see coming whatsoever.
Well, they just started doing Michelob Ultra at Wrigley last year, and it used to be Bud Light when I was at Wrigley, at least. But Michelob Ultra is one of my favorite beers. So, like, I was like, all right, well, this is,
who put you up to this? Like, who brews? Don't we have to disclose our things that we're being sponsored by? Are you sure you don't have a deal with Michelob Ultra?
I mean, I personally do not.
You're open to it.
I'm open to it. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I know it's not like one of the more popular ones.
Is this like the 60 calorie beer?
It's like 90.
Okay.
But like it is considered like they like the way they advertise it is that it's lighter. Like it's if you're not trying to gain a ton of weight, I guess you drink that. I don't know.
Are you drinking this because you are putting 10 of them back at a game?
Well, I have before. It's not a consistent thing. But I mean, you know, I when they brought it in there, I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, I'll drink this. Like, it's one that it is a beer that I buy all the time, like for at home and stuff. So whenever,
I haven't seen any in the fridge here, so that's going to have to change. You're going to.
Yeah, nah. I mean, I'm not a real picky guy when it comes to beer. Like I said, before they brought, yeah, whatever, before they brought that in, I mean, I usually was Bud Light, so,
yeah,
you know.
You guys are pissing Matt Peck off in the comments, too. I mean, he said old style at Wrigley does, so he's on Casey's side. He's telling you to get out, and then Cody just pissed him off with the Michelob Ultra thing. So Matt Peck is hating the CHGO podcast.
I mean, I get it. I'm sure people are going to slide my DMs now and yell at me. It's fine.
Who cares? It's beer. Fucking relax. People care. Jesus Christ. Like, people if somebody care. Wants old style, let them drink old I mean, style. If someone wants Michelob Ultra,
if it
Ultra,
wasn't, like, if they served Miller Lite there, I would get that before Michelob Ultra.
You know, you could become a Sox fan. Yeah, that's now the official beer of the White Sox.
I know.
And pissed a lot of people off.
Yeah, what if they to the had Goose Island thing?
As someone who grew up downstate, if they had Busch Light there, I would get that too. But, you know.
Isn't Busch like the worst beer you can drink?
No. It's just one of my... It's one that my soul is just... It's just ingrained into it. Like, I had it enough in college that, like, I couldn't stop. So
it's a spiritual
Peck's calling
thing.
Your Michelob poison.
Wow.
Wow. What did you pick, Sean?
I picked the souvenir cup at Sox Park. I love a good souvenir cup. My girlfriend calls it the sport cup. I didn't go with beer. I'm a Diet Coke drinker. All my beer, they don't sell my type of beer at Sox Park. I only drink 2014 Labatt Blue. So
is that true?
No.
I like that.
That case stood untouched for 8 years in my garage. But I'm just not a big drinker, or at least I haven't been at the ballpark yet. So I stick with my pop.
Wait until this job gets done with you, Sean.
Those cups are really good.
This is your, 53rd podcast and starting this?
52nd. 52nd since March 4th.
Are those cups, like, collectible?
Yeah. They got a new one every single year. So, like, last year they had a cool design. Like, it was more like cartoon, little animated, little designs. And it was nicely made. So, like, when I put it in the dishwasher, it didn't get ruined.
Cool.
But sometimes they've been like, you know, the schedule. And you put that in the dishwasher and it's ruined, faded, like, after 3 times.
Yeah.
The Cubs have, like, a good one, too. Like, back in 2015, they had Joe Madden on the souvenir cup.
Yeah,
so.
And, like, 16, they had all the – or the year after 16, they had, like, 5 different ones that had, like, all these cool pictures from the World Series.
That's cool.
So that's probably what I do at any park. I'll go and get a souvenir cup of pop.
Okay. What was yours, Kevin?
I'm pulling Craft Beer Dad here. So you guys can make fun of that.
I should have said 312 just to play it safe.
I love the Craft Cave at Sox Park. And the reason is because I think they do a great job of highlighting a lot of local breweries. They have 18th Street Brewery from Gary, Indiana, which is one of the few black-owned breweries in the country. They have great stuff. Sex and Candy IPA, I think. Really good. They also have Pollyanna, which is in Lamont, a southern suburb, one of my favorite breweries. And I love that I can go down there and get one of their flagship beers, which is the Lexical Gap IPA. I don't really even know what that means.
Neither does Cody.
Neither does Cody. I think it has a few more calories than 90, so I don't know if Cody would be interested. Let's move on.
Well, are you upset about the Craft Cave going away?
They're still going to have a selection there.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's now Miller Lite, a little bit more corporate.
I understand how these things work. Look, if we get sponsored in here by Miller Lite, all that Michelob stuff is out.
Cut it out.
Yeah.
Lawrence?
Like I said, I would drink Miller Lite before Michelob.
Okay.
So,
all right, favorite in park tradition. Casey?
This is tough. I have two guys because I am a big Cup Snake guy. So I'm going to go with the Cup Snake because it's hilarious and people – in the park hate it, which I feel bad for because it's a lot of work to police that. But I'm also kind of a sucker for the seventh inning stretch.
Sure.
Like, I love, you know, getting up during the game and just singing and being ridiculous. Like, who doesn't love that? Do people not get up?
I've said that.
I do every time.
Do you?
The seventh inning stretch is the only thing you can get 40,000 people to agree about. Hey, in the middle of the seventh inning, we're all going to get up and sing a song. That is literally the only thing on the planet people will agree on.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
It's hokey, I know, but I love it.
Worst seventh inning stretch at Wrigley probably was done by Conor McGregor last year.
No.
That was bad. That was bad.
You can't blame somebody who is foreign of screwing up a baseball song that's 100 years old. Like, Jeff Gordon went into that stadium and called it Wrigley Stadium.
I was at the Jeff Gordon one and the Mike Ditka one. Okay. Those,
the Ditka one's funny, though.
It's not the worst. It's up there with Ditka and Jeff Gordon.
The Ozzy Osbourne one is bad.
It is.
Hilarious, but bad. That one's just... the Ditka one's funny because he ran up there and is out of breath. But the Jeff Gordon one's probably the most pathetic because Wrigley he had Stadium. Time to do it. He screwed up the name of Wrigley Field and then, you know, it just absolutely brutalized the actual singing of it. So Jeff Gordon easily had it.
Let's not forget Steve McMichael threatening Angel Hernandez at the end of it and then getting thrown out of the game. That one was amazing. Cody, what's your favorite in-park tradition?
I mean, I love a good cup snake, like she said, but, for me, I think, and this is what makes, the Cubs unique, or being at Wrigley unique, and it's throwing the home run, opposing home run ball back.
That is really
the picture
funny.
That we have on YouTube. It's from last season, I believe. And, I was actually just telling Steven about it, before we did the bet show today, about there was a Dodgers player who hit a home run in a blowout game last year. And this guy, he just literally picked his kid up after they got the ball and made him throw it back.
Incredible.
And I feel like that's kind of like your initiation into being a Cubs fan in a way.
He'll never forget that. I love it.
Yeah. A lot of people don't like it. They're usually opposing fans of other teams because they just don't get it. But to me, it's like, it's just unique. And it's always okay to just, you know, bring a ball with you and throw that one instead of the actual ball. So,
yeah, but like people cheering when that happens is like the funniest thing ever.
I think they're just lucky that no one's ever like aimed at an opposing player it makes sense.
Haven't
they?
I feel like they
you'd
have.
Know that more. I mean, it feels like less of an issue than you'd expect. Because, I mean, so many people run onto
Remember that one time that kid threw it all the way back to the catcher and then they signed him and won the World Series?
Funky
love that
butt
movie.
Loving. that is probably my favorite baseball movie.
That's how you
movie.
Make a reference that people get, Sean.
Because it's, that's probably my favorite movie because it's so poorly written. The last game where they go up against the Mets, John Candy says it's the final game of the season. The team that wins the division, and they go to the World Series. So it's the NLCS combined with 162 combined with like the wild card game. It is the worst written
Sometimes
baseball
just,
movie of all time.
I love how like I forget the guy's actual like his actual name, but he like throws out the first pitch at Wrigley at least once a year.
Oh, Henry Rowengarter,
Thomas Ian Nicholas.
Yes.
I actually had a drink with him because he has a band. I think one of the 2015 NLCS games. Real nice guy, nice. More people know him from American Pie than...
That's true.
He said if he comes to Chicago, everyone says Henry Rowengardner. Everywhere else, it's whatever his character's name is in that.
That's funny.
Oh, my in-game tradition is the exploding scoreboard for the Chicago White Sox. We don't have a lot of the throwing back of the balls, the seven inning stretch happens, but we don't have like a guest singer or anything like that. This has to be probably the most famous tradition for the Sox, the exploding scoreboard. Now they've updated it. We got the updated version. But Bill Veeck introducing that back in the 70s, such a unique addition to the park and such a great thing to see. You first show up at Sox Park as a child. And I was lucky enough to see the White Sox get blown out 12-2 by the Angels in 2004. Garrett Anderson was hitting home runs left and right. I saw that, I forget who hit a home run for the Sox, but like the first time you see it go up, like you wonder where the fireworks are coming from.
Right,
like
right.
Are they hidden back in the stacks and they're shooting up from behind the fireworks? And then when you get to see the platform behind it, it kind of takes away all the magic. But that's probably my favorite tradition that the Sox have.
This is like on track to be the longest podcast of all time, but...
No.
we were at a game over, I think in like 1989. You weren't born then, right?
89? No.
Anyone here born in 89? No. Yeah, none.
91.
I was born in 91.
Okay. We were out there. My brother was looking up, and we were like, this was at the old Sox Park. And the embers came down and got in my brother's eye, and he was like 6 or 7 years old, and we had to go to the, you know, first aid station, whatever, and... We thought he was blind, but no. He was all fine. if that happened in this day and age, we'd probably own half the team. My favorite in-park tradition is also the exploding scoreboard. We talk about home runs being cool, and what's cooler than hitting a home run and then having it marked by an exploding scoreboard. So.
Right. What's cooler than like having Scott Podsednik hit a walk-off home run and have the scoreboard literally explode while the place erupts? It's great.
All right. Favorite seating location. Let's do this in 10 seconds or less.
I'm going to say the third baseline near the W Club. Shout out to my former coworkers in the W Club. It's like where the Bartman seat probably is. Well, used to be. I know they kind of took it out, but that's fun. That's a great spot.
Left field bleachers if I'm there with friends, which is basically
left field sucks. Time.
Yeah. Oh, you're a right field person? Oh, no. The poll on the Cubs Twitter account yesterday voted that right field. That right field sucks. So,
Henry Rotengardner is a right fielder. He likes right field better than you guys. I'm picking section 161 for guaranteed right field. That's holy ground for me. That's where I saw Mark Burley pitch the perfect game. So section 161, row 17, seats 1-4.
I'm picking 400 level at Wrigley between the bases. I think those are like the most nice. Underrated seats. You can see everything in the stadium. You're like right on top of everything. Wrigley and Fenway are the two parks where that's, you know, not all, everything's pushed back. So I'm going with that. All right. The important stuff. What are you eating at Wrigley or Sox Park?
I have to go with the Italian beef with the hot peppers. And I know this is stupid because, thank you, Lawrence. There is nothing like not only sweating externally at the game, but like internally. And like you're wearing shorts and just your seat's all sweaty. Just love it.
It's definitely a task to eat an entire Italian beef sandwich at a ball game, but I always appreciate your effort.
Yeah, I regret it, but
thank
then
you
I
for
don't.
Your service.
I think the Cubs just introduced this sometime within the last
I hadn't heard
5
of this.
Years. It's called they call it the Northside Twist, but it's just a gigantic pretzel that comes in what I call a pizza box. We had this in our sweet and savory 16 bracket for the Cubs show. At the beginning of March Madness, it did not make it out of the first round, and that's a shame because this thing is awesome. You can I think I had one experience where I ate it by myself, but I usually share it with like two or three people. So yeah, it's just really good. It's just like, again, it's just like a huge pretzel, and you get like three sauces with it. It's awesome. And I think you can get it like on the first base side, like down into the, you know, the walk area.
I'm looking forward to sharing one of those with you this year, Cody.
Yeah.
First one's on me.
Okay. I'm going to hold you to that.
My in-park menu item is going to be just a classic Chicago hot dog. I usually don't pregame before the game, so usually my first thing that I do is go and buy a hot dog before people, you know, are there at the game, before the stands get all crowded. I like to just sit down and shove a hot dog down my throat. It's great.
So good. I'm going with the Frosty Malt at Wrigley. An oldie but a goodie. It's not going to get you drunk. I like that.
Do they sell them still?
That's amazing. They do. I think they do. Last time, I had them a couple during the World Series games. Remember that playoff run was really balmy and was like really nice weather.
Mm-hmm.
I had that. You get the wooden spoon. I'm always mad if they don't have the wooden spoon because the wooden spoon adds the flavor of that frosty malt.
Yeah.
Yes. That's a must get when I'm at on the north side. All right. Finally, game is over. Sox or Cubs, big win. Which bar are you heading to?
I walked to Guthrie's Tavern. I'm so glad it reopened after the pandemic. I was devastated when it was gone because it's like when you walk in there, you feel like you're in a movie. It's like very picturesque and sweet and cozy in there. And there's games. That would be my pick.
It's one of the Wrigleyville holdouts. I mean, everything has been replaced or torn down.
Right.
And, And there are good spots here and there, but Guthrie's is one of them. They also say it's like one of the best first date spots. When that place closed down, everyone was like, I met my wife there. That was our first date. And everyone was like devastated. So it's awesome to see it back. Is it haunted?
I didn't know that.
Wow.
I'm still going to go.
Okay.
I guess I'll go with one that's real popular. It's Sluggers, right down Clark. We got the batting cages upstairs with all the other stuff. It's a staple in Wrigley. I love going there. I celebrated my 25th birthday there. To me, it's like, as I've gotten older, it's still a spot that I feel like I feel comfortable in. Because a lot of people think that that entire strip of bars down Clark is kind of for a younger crowd, like a more college crowd. But for some reason, Sluggers always just feels, I don't want to say it feels like home, but it feels like a place that I'm always just comfortable in. So.
Yeah, Minnie Minoso's home. So yes, you and Minnie Minoso having something in common.
That may be haunted by the ghost of Minnie Minoso. We don't know.
Perhaps.
Sky Point. My favorite bar after to go to, I don't go to a lot of bars, but my favorite bar is the End Zone on Western. And as you can see, there's a green sign up there, and it says, named top 15 bar by the Chicago Tribune in 1983. That sign was up there for years, and I drove by it and doing the Clark, the Luke Stuckmeyer thing, 83, every time I drove past it. Never been in. Looks great, though. So check out the End Zone. It was once a top 15 bar in Chicago.
So it's your favorite, but you've never been there.
No, I don't go into bars. But that would have to be my favorite bar. I have an End Zone t-shirt that has the sign on there that they're a top 15 bar in Chicago. They're still proud of it.
I'm going to Murphy's. There's nothing better than spilling out of the bleachers and literally 5 seconds later, you're in a bar and walking up and getting another hot dog or another beer.
Yeah,
I think it's the best bar in Wrigleyville by a long shot. I mean, you could make a case for Bernie's, I think. Not a big Cubby Bear guy. Murphy's is where it's at. So
Murphy's is so, like, there's a lot of grit, I feel like.
Yeah.
There. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and the people L train like is that. Right there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I love that place.
I cannot wait for the spring and the summer, because I think this is going to be a great place to meet up with CHGO staff, CHGO audience members, and everything. So next we are going to get to April Fool's Day stories, including Jay Cutler. But first, Sean has a message for us.
Yeah, I have to let you know, our next partner has a product I literally use every day. I started taking AG1s because I went to Murphy's Tavern too many times. I started building up some blockage. You know, I needed to clear myself out. I didn't have time. I wanted better gut health. I wanted more energy starting my real full-time job. I started it, you know, about 3 weeks ago, and I've been taking AG1 for the past 3 weeks. It helps me get centered, helps me start my schedule off right. And it doesn't taste super healthy, which is my favorite part. It tastes kind of mild, tastes tropical, so it's easy to start your day off. I look forward to starting my day off with AG1s. You might be wondering what this stuff is. With one delicious scoop of AG1s, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. And my favorite part too, Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. This is approved by so many people. It's approved by different lifestyles. It is keto-friendly, paleo-friendly, vegan-friendly, dairy-free friendly, or gluten-free friendly. This is for everybody. It will help you out. It's helped me. Right now, it is your time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. About 8 to 12 ounces is what they recommend. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you one free year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/CHGO. Let's do socks, because there's no sports one. So let's do socks. Let's throw out the socks one.
Get your credit, man.
athleticgreens.com/CHGO socks is where you can go. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/CHGO. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/CHGO to take ownership over your health and pick the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. That's athleticgreens.com/CHGO socks.
Awesome. Well, today is March 31st. Tomorrow is April 1st, which is a interesting day on the internet. You have to have your defenses up. A lot of stuff, you know, about. We've probably all had great April Fool's Day pranks in our lives. We've played them, been victims too. I wanted to see if you guys had any great ones. I will actually start off with mine. And the reason that I included this is because it actually involves Jay Cutler or a reference to. In 2015, I was one of the lead editors at Yahoo Sports. You guys may or may not know this. I was leading a team. And one of my best friends there is a guy named Frank Schwab. And
Frank.
He is
Frank.
He's
Frank,
honestly Frank. One of the hardest workers I know. He grinds from morning to night on NFL stuff, gambling. If you're not following him on Twitter, follow him at Yahoo Schwab. He's a great guy. He said, look, I've been working for, you know, since the Super Bowl. I haven't had a day off. I want to go to this Fleetwood Mac concert. I want to go to dinner. Can someone at least just please cover the NFL that day? I said, sure, Frank. That, you know, you've earned that. You've spent several months, the entire season grinding. You work 364 days a year. This is your few-hour window to go out and just cut loose. Well, I had other plans. When he was at dinner, and I knew he was at dinner, I quickly texted him. And, Lawrence, can we get this up on? Here's the text. And I said, oh crap. The Bears have just traded Jay Cutler. And this was kind of at the point where this was a possibility. Like, the Bears may have traded Jay Cutler. And I screwed it up. I said, Schaefer reported that it was actually Adam Schefter. And he responds, what? Or why? Or what did he say? So then he wanted Eric Edholm to field it. I said, look, Eric's not around. You got to handle this. So literally, he's like on the phone with me. He's running out of the restaurant. And I was like, yeah, we got to get some. This is a huge trade at this point. And so he's running out of the restaurant to go home before going to Fleetwood Mac. And at that point, my conscience kind of kicked in. And I said, I can't have him driving all the way home to go write a story about a trade that didn't happen.
That's cruel.
Yeah.
And I told him that it was April Fool's. And he said, son of a bitch. Oh, there he is, Frank Schwab.
Frank.
What do you think about that, Frank? Do you remember this?
And I'm glad you still refer to me as your friend, because I don't think that way anymore since April Fool's. I am sitting at this hole-in-the-wall restaurant, maybe enjoying a margarita, and forgot it's April 1st, and I get this text. And the key to it was you say Schefter tweeted it, because it wasn't just some random. I was like, oh, there's some gravitas towards this. So I'm going through all this in my head of, how do I tell my wife we're going to be late to this concert? How do I just duck out of dinner right now? And you left me hanging for a long time here, Kevin. Like this
I did, right?
It was like a good solid 5 minutes. I'm like eating my food. Like I'm trying to get done with this so I can head home, write this thing about Jay Cutler, head to this concert, pick up my wife on the way. Like, yes. And before that, you know, we were always on a little bit of, okay, it's April Fool's. Don't get screwed by anything. After that, I have such PTSD. Every April 1st, I'm like, on alert constantly because of you, Kevin, and I will
see.
I
think
that.
The key here was that I waited till 7 or 8 o'clock to do it. Yes, you have forgotten that it's April Fool's.
I can admit this begrudgingly. It was perfect. Like you did it perfectly, and you left me hanging for a long time too. And
why didn't you check? Why didn't you check Twitter to see the tweet?
Because I'm sitting there in my head trying to figure out how do I tell my wife at the time. I have to go home. We're going to miss, we're going to miss the chain because they're going to come out with that. We're going to miss the first couple songs because I got to go home and write this because nobody else is around right until Jay Cutler got traded. And I say this often, but it's true today. You're a real asshole, Kevin. I appreciate that forever.
You're a real good sport, Frank. Thank you for coming on.
By the way, real quick, Kevin, can I give, because you guys were talking about your favorite in-game tradition at Chicago.
Oh, yes.
Can I give mine? Yeah. Mine is when the Milwaukee Brewers come in and beat the Chicago Cubs at Wrigley Field like they're going to do next Thursday.
Yeah,
let's
Frank.
Go Brewers, defending NL Central champions.
Frank, were you able to relax during that concert at all, or were you just thinking about Kevin the entire time?
I'm still shook. Like, Kevin texted me today. I'm not even kidding. He has some, like, PTSD where I'm, like, starting to sweat. I'm like, oh, my God. It's been 7 years, and it's still, I can feel what I felt then.
I love that story. Thank you for coming on, Frank. You are actually our first guest on the CHGO podcast, so you're making history, too.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Kevin. Thanks. Thanks,
man. Thanks, Frank.
Buddy, pal. Thanks, guys. I appreciate y'all.
Thanks, Frank.
Thanks, Frank.
That's, you traumatized the man.
That's rude,
sorry.
Man. That's Fleetwood Mac. You are, like, and to, like, imagine if, like, I mean, that might be the last time he's ever seen, like, the real Fleetwood Mac lineup together, and all he could think about now is not the concert, but you. This is one of the greatest bands of all time. One of the greatest American bands of all time is now broken up, and his last memory is Kevin ruining his dinner.
And he wrote the whole story. Like, he wasn't just like you let him write the whole thing.
He didn't write the whole thing. He was headed home.
He just scarfed down his dinner.
I did have a pang of conscience.
I thought he was writing something up already.
All I'm saying is, you guys better have your heads on a swivel tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh God. Yeah. I'm scared. Can't wait.
Yeah. You guys have any good ones?
Not as good as that. That's for sure.
None that I can think of.
No.
April Fool's was never a huge thing. It felt like more of a TV thing than a real life thing.
I will say that I am a pretty gullible guy, so like I do get owned a lot on April Fool's Day. Like it's not that, and that's why it's never been like my favorite holiday or anything like that. But I will say I don't get fooled by all those fake Twitter accounts breaking fake news. So at least really? I got that going for me.
Casey said, "Hey, should we do something tomorrow?" And I just like, it's just not a big win because half the people, probably more than half the people are just calling you a-holes for trying to whatever. And I don't know.
People are too aware.
Yeah. Like, it's a 2008 thing. You can kind of pull things off. Or apparently, if you're friends with Frank Schwab, you can do it in 2015.
But on social, we won't be doing any April Fool's pranks, but we are asking our followers to tweet their favorite perfect baseball day in Chicago. So we want to hear from you guys, too. Yeah. So make sure you follow us on Twitter and tell us about your perfect baseball day in Chicago.
Awesome. This was a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to the baseball season, like I said. And I'm looking forward to having you guys on the CHGO podcast more as we go forward. The Sox and Cubs guys, you might be a little bit more busy, but I'm sure, Casey, you're going to be a regular.
I'll be around.
That was a great debut, so great job.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Your first podcast, your 52nd, you're probably...
I didn't count.
20s in there. I mean, we've been doing two a day. So you're up there
probably.
Thanks for having us on, though, Kev.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin.
Well, thanks for joining us on the CHGO podcast. Make sure you follow us on your favorite podcast platform. And also check us out on Twitter at CHGO_sports. We will see you next week.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.